Well, the production in whole is a cost. Despite I can play all of the instruments myself, I can mix, I can master the total package, right? I can't do it without the singers. You know what I mean? And I don't think it'd be fair for only me to be making something out of this whole thing, because you know it takes two hands to clap.
Yeah,
But if
preach,
I
brother.
yeah, so if I produce a flash drive, say I have 10 artists on this flash drive, you know what I mean? Not only come to Radar to buy, you can go to any one of the 10 artists and buy a flash drive for them too, because I think you know everybody should eat their food. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, to come to the studio is money. You know what I mean? Studio equipment is money, you know. So, you know, a
And
small cost.
I find it was a yeah. I find it was a genius really, because I find a lot like what happened, especially me now, before you just stop singing and start pushing the youth hard, I find that sometimes convenience. So like you might person might want music, or you might pull up like somebody in a carrier there, and yeah, you could technically up online. But I find if you got a flash drive while saying with all your music right there, I find that somebody will give $20 for it. Real, like, without thinking, so there's still a place for that, you know what I mean? And when I saw you doing that, I say, "Whoa, real that boy, this genius boy." Because you know, like, if you got J1 at work doing his work, and J1 is perform in different hotels and clubs and so on, and then a tourist come and tell J1 they will love your music. And J1 said, "Well, they have 20 songs here, we're in a flash drive, you know what I mean? 20 US and the gate on the spot convenience, you know what I mean?" Like that was a top move. When you see you decide to do that for the sake of the artists,
Yeah, because
yeah,
you know,
that yeah. Go
you
ahead, go
know,
ahead.
during COVID, you know, during COVID, we had a period,
Yeah.
when, you know, we couldn't really get out, couldn't really get out, and you know, that was a way too for everybody to be having a piece of Barbados. A lot of people from different parts of the world bought flash drives,
Yeah.
bought these flash drives. Like I sent flash drives as far as Africa.
No, people were requesting them on the page, on the live.
Yeah, people were
People were
requesting it.
saying, listen, people were saying how to send the money. I want this music ASAP. People were telling you
Correct.
that. No, you don't want you send me it. I want something physical, I want something tangible in my hand. And
Correct.
that among the people that were saying that surprised me still. Because you know we're still in the online world, but more of people that are saying they want something tangible still, like saying, whoa, there's still a big market for that.
Yeah,
There's still
because
a big market for that.
the flash drive
Flash drive
by
records, all
itself
these
is a
things got a niche market.
yeah, because the flash drive itself too, it is the price of the flash drive is very marketable. Very, very, very marketable. Because in Barbados, a blank flash drive is like $20.
Yeah.
And we were selling our flash drives with the music for $25.
Yeah, right. It
So
was saying that, yeah, $23. You're correct.
then
So it was sell.
Yes. And you know, it was just a matter of giving back to the artists, giving back to the studio. You know what I mean? Just giving back something that we could, you know, to fuel us up, that we can go on. And by doing that too, putting the music out to the world and putting these new, well, not new artists, putting the talent of
Unheard and
Barbados.
unheard. It's new too, because if you're unheard, it's still new, right? You know what I mean? You're new to somebody else, so I get you. But the reason why I love you for doing that, because you work with big names, but you work with the unknowns equally. That was me, because I've seen you work with King Shepherd and Nelly King Shepherd and Crystal. I'm more sure you did work with Crystal
Crystal
Thomas Beckles
Cummings,
already.
yeah, in the early
Or
days,
oh, right. It's right. So the old brain's still working good. So how is you working with them versus the unknowns? How do you keep the same enthusiasm that you have? Is it just what is it?
well, you
Because you
know.
were because King Shepherd's song was big, that blew up radar even more. Like, you were big years, decades before that. But King Shepherd's song put on fresh wheels, and then you're working with Crystal Cummings Beckles in a totally different feel to the King Shepherd feel. You get me? And then you work with the unknown artists. So what gives you enthusiasm to touch all these markets, but still give them the same energy and zest that you do?
Well, we treat everybody as equal. You know, everybody's going to bring something to the table. And what you do, you take what they bring and you run with it. You know, you're going to get different artists who's going to bring, you know, certain weaknesses and certain strengths. So you work on the weaknesses to get them, you know, to get them to a particular point where everybody then, and as you rightfully said, everybody will come out on the same level.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
No, that's simply brilliant. And yeah. when you're doing a song radar and the song is a go, you know, there's something I always want to ask you, like, hear that song and you knew there would be two different interpretations. You know, it would have been one company and walk upon it. You know that confusion would have caused this mass hysteria around the song. You know that from the time it was recorded.
But honestly speaking, no.
being real with you and Ronnie's a man that recorded a lot. And Ronnie knows something. You just hear things after you listen back. You just hear things when you listen to your own song on the radio. Part they feel a little different. So Ronnie will know about this. But Ronnie, imagine he in the studio and he hearing Walk Company and them listen back to it, Ronnie, and them never hear Walk Up on it.
All I heard was Walk Up on it. I heard that clear from the start.
From the start, Ronnie.
And then people were talking about Walk Company. I said, hey, it's Walk Up on it. Now the the thing is in that song,
yes,
when you got the intro with the little sax part, bam 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 bam, and then there's that pause, and then there's that pause, and it drops into woi bam 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 woi bam 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 woi bam 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 bam. So it really had elements of classic calypso in there, but the beat brought it into the modern era. And reality is when you got songs around the same time, like Tipsy by Gorg, you know, my girl got me tipsy, ba dee da 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 bum ba. Them songs, and the drinking songs, them songs really took over after that. I mean, King Shepherd. He sang a lot. He did a lot of work with Radar and other people after that. Never got close to that. But some of the work that he did after that actually wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad at all. But Bajans, and I'm saying this, when Bajans put you in a particular bracket and hole, they keep you there. And they figure, well, you know, as far as they're concerned, that's the only hit he got. But that's not true. There are other good songs,
he got a lot of good songs.
But let me say this: I went through our folder here, and I think Peter Ram's got like 150 or 170 songs. Now I know Ram because before he stepped on a national stage, I was rapping on national stage while him and Rick were now finding their feet coming into the same arena. Now the reality is, There was a time from about 2008 when he had White Pants Tight. It was Tight. He had a song called Tight, right? And before that, he had Woman by My Side, and he had the song Pumping. But Ram didn't have many big hits, not soca hits. He had a couple of dub songs that were hits between then and when All of We came out in 2015. And then after that, he had All of We, he had Good Morning, he had big hits. So it happens in Barbados that whether you singing something sweet or not, something that actually deserves a bit more attention, some crowds in particular arenas just decide, okay, all right, that's it for now. Thank you very much. Until you come back with something big again. and I feel
King Shepherd,
but that's a big hit still. You still
King play Shepherd that. The victim of that, Ronnie.
You play that song still, song is still a hit.
Come on.
And
In Barbados, today, play that song today.
Yeah. Because in Barbados, we expect you to have a smash hit every year. We expect you to forget that you did a song in 2020 when 2021 comes around. But Tony Bennett, Engelbert Humperdinck, who we name, Tom Jones, you name it, Charlie Pride, many of those artists tour on their repertoire, right? And they have audiences.
Yes. The Rolling Stones. Kenny Rogers.
The Rolling Stones. Yes. Not him, because he died this year. So he'd have a hard time being on tour. If you tell me Kenny Rogers singing with Dolly Parton at the gymnasium this Christmas, then I can't believe you, Carl. He went earlier this year. But what I'm saying is that the repertoire that they have is not dependent upon a current hit per se. And a song from a few years ago can turn around and become a current hit. Case in point, that song by Freezy. What was it called? Stick in the Middle or something, so?
Yeah, Stick in the Middle.
That song was already out for That song was already out for a couple of years before it came to Barbados. That song, Cheerleader, by OMI, O-M-I. That song was actually in a reggae version before it was remixed by a DJ and became a hit 3 years later. So we have to stop giving up on our songs that we record in any particular year.
Look, It happened to turn me on.
Yes. Look at Jack by Gabby. They had beach protests in St. Lucia and other places here recently. Of all the songs that are available in the Caribbean since 1982, which is the song they were singing word for word on the beach in protest to whichever government?
Yeah.
It was Gabby's.
Da beach is mine. Beach is mine. So, it's true. Stop. I can be it anytime.
Let us be honest. It's not every song that is recorded that is great. And we need to stop that lie that every song recorded and released from a studio is great, because it's not. It's not. Some studios are more consistent than others. But you know what? The song that the professionals and purists believe has no right being out there, that the tones aren't right, vocals a little off, the mix is raw, it wasn't done by this person, it wasn't done by that person, it didn't get sent to New Jersey and Battery or whatever the case may be. There may be something novel about that song, something trending about that song that people like. For example, in the last 2 weeks in Barbados, it's been Pisheng, Weng, 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 Weng. Now, that little phrase is in everything, everywhere. And the best songwriter in the world may not be able to do that. But someone who just created something different for 7 days, maybe. But in those 7 days, that has been heard millions of times. But it's a novelty. I don't expect...
For sure. That's the number one mentioned thing online.
But I don't expect him to come back next week with Pixing Woo 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 as a part two to Weng 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 Weng. That won't make any sense. That's desperation. There will always be standards. But at the same time, you must give allowances for strange things happening. It happens. But it doesn't mean that good music and well-produced material should not be the target for anybody that wants to be professional or be successful with the time that they have to devote to music or entertainment. It is serious business, and people are trained, learned, as well as having that gift, that spark, and that inspiration to create good things. But let's not think because it was recorded last year that you forget about that. And only what happens the next year matters. And that's what competition has done to this country.
You must start with that.
That's what competition has done to this country.
I agree.
The competition internationally is your commercial success. If you want to look, now I'm dealing with artistic success. I'm dealing with commercial success. You've got Billboard. You've got the official UK singles chart. You've got Euro chart. And the way in which these things have been created or collated differs over time. Sometimes it was just record sales. Sometimes it's just airplay. There was never any streaming involved. Now it's streaming. It's social media, interaction, etc. And these things, if you want to get in that arena, you have to be aware of. And you must also recognize that America is not the only place that you can have success. You can have success in Europe. You can have success in Africa, in Asia. In fact, there are artists in those places that come from traditional music hotbeds that nobody in their respective region or country has ever heard of. You've got Americans who are successful. You've got West Indians who are successful just because they understand, look, it's not whether the 250,000 people here like me that my life is going to flourish, grow, or come to an end. It's not because whether a program manager likes me or not or likes my music. It's got nothing to do with that in the wider sense of things. So we need to educate our people who create that's just a small drop. But if you're going to do it, understand there will be successes and there'll be things that won't be as successful. But King Shepherd, that was big, big, big.
Yes, well, yes. So Radar, you came from work tonight, right?
Yes, yes.
So that part of your field, you think your music benefited from your knowledge in that field as well? And this was a gig in sound,
right? This was a song gig that I did earlier from 3 until 6, yeah.
Right, because you have your sound company as well as recording studio.
Yes, yes. But actually, right. Actually, the umbrella is Radar Songs. But on the Radar Songs, there are a couple of entities. There's the DJ assignment, but I still DJ.
You have to listen. I need you to go back to the 80s when DJs were coming from outside of St. Peter to play in St. Peter and St. Lucie. They knew they were up against a wall. And Sluggy, I'm telling you, because I was there. A lot of people don't understand. I DJed a rap long before I came on radio. I was there. The first time I saw Radar was at a house party in Mullins Gap. I think it was Angela Dujon. She had a house party up there. And Rodney G was on the set. Now, you remember how heavy them turntables were. My man lift up the turntable in one hand. The man spawned the 12-inch on the proper side of the turntable and was scratching like that. And I just stood there. I was like, whoa, these guys are who? And my cousin Andy says, yo, this is Radar that I was telling you about. So, well, you ain't going to tell me about these guys no more. Radar, let me tell you, as DJs in the north, any DJ was leaving but the south or central parts of Barbados to go and DJ in the north. The people in the north were just waiting for you. Because they're saying, we got Radar here for you, man. Don't get nervous, man. Tonight is your night, boss. Tonight is not your night. We got Radar. Nobody comes out here and tests Radar. And they're very loyal. It's like Youth Milan. The whole of the North supporting Youth Milan.
Yeah.
As a footballer, I knew the kind of support that St. Peter and St. Lucie people give to anything coming from there, in anything that has a national potential. And Radar is definitely there. Big sound. Big, big sound.
True. So Radar, in you were sitting those times. What was the grind like making your name? How was it stamping your name as the man in St. Lucie? How was that journey and that grind?
But that grind, when the name was stamped, I was not even aware of the name was stamped, because playing music for me was always, you know, was a hobby, started out as a hobby. Actually, it goes even deeper than the turntables and stuff. And as Rodney would say, I started in the church. I started playing instruments, because a lot of people don't know this side of me. I actually started playing the bass guitar when I was 9 years old. I was always messing around with the piano. Like, funny time I know myself, 5 years old, I was always messing around with the piano. I was born in England.
So how you got this instrument so young, bro?
Well, in England, there was a tradition to have a piano in the house as an ornament. It wasn't really something for the children to play.
Well, Ronnie never tell me about this.
Yeah, so I would always go and lift up that piano and try to play. I would get lashes and lashes and lashes for troubling the piano till they realize that they're lashing me and it ain't happening. So they just left me alone. So I would, from that, as far as I could remember myself, I was always like trying to create my own stuff on the piano.
And how you guys do to the bass at 9?
When I was coming to Barbados, I came to Barbados when I was actually 10. Mm. My brother gave me a box guitar and it had on only the 4 bass strings. So I used to play that, and like when I came to Barbados, then it was like trying to play like whatever I heard come over there. And this was like 10 years old when I came to Barbados. So the bass then became my second instrument. So I was trying to play bass for every song I heard come over the radio. And then eventually when I went to church, I could always remember there's a resident holiness church in Crab Hill. The pastor is called Brother O'Neill. Brother O'Neill had two guitars by him, right? And he used to take out one and play. And one night I walked in. I had just set my 11 plus. I walked in and I took out the next guitar, turned it up, and I started to pull some bass. And everybody was like, wait, this little fella. And I mean, like, the bass guitar was almost bigger than me at the time. Mm-hmm. And I went, well, where he come from? Pulling bass and I'm playing by ear. So I started in the church, and there's a clip that is still going around on Facebook with Rebirth. And we had this mm-hmm. conversation when he said, well, the band is not actually Rebirth. It's a stem off of Rebirth, the same Roots Daisley, called Roots My Connection.
Yeah. That was a whole discussion.
Yeah, and bitching the guy that you see sitting on the corner, the little guy sitting on the corner with the hat on. That is mm-hmm. me pulling bass. I think I was between 16 and 17 years old at the mm-hmm. time. So yeah, I was introduced to instruments from young, you know, but I always had the urge to actually spin music, you know, like DJ, that kind of thing. So is everything that came along. It's not only the DJ part of it, is the, you know, playing the instruments and thing, everything came along as
one. Yeah, package. The foundation is in music.
Yeah, music, period.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, so when you ask me about the name, I like playing here and playing there, you know, you're doing it for the fun. Because at that time it wasn't really nothing to do with the money that you would get, you know what I mean? You chop up the money that you would get as an experience, because at the time, you know, certain promoters were ready to take advantage of it. If they know that, they already take advantage. But you know what? We'd be still out the next week and do it the next week and the next week. And we love what we were doing. You know what I mean? So it's when I realized that the name was out there, is that a night we was invited to St. Catharines to play, and they wanted to know it. There's so many DJs between St. Lucie and St. Catharines. Why Radar? We went up, we set up, and the dance was ram. The dance was ram. Is at that point that I realized, you know something? This thing happening. The name is happening. So, you know, rightfully saying, when the name was out there, was a buzz, I really didn't know. You know?
Wow.
Well, boy, that is crazy that you didn't even know when the name was buzzing. You was just, so you just had your head down, you had your foot to the plow, and you just working.
Just working.
You ain't studying well, my name blowing up or anything. You just continue that for years.
Yeah, just continue that. And I think the main thing in this business is to stay humble. You know what I mean? Don't let the hype get to your head. You know what I mean? You need to stay humble and do, put your best foot forward and do what you gotta do. And that's just how I treat life in general.
Mm-hmm.
Just stay humble. You know what I mean?
That's a great thing, and it's good that you meant that I'm working with the still working with the known and the unknown artists. I'm working with everyone bringing out such lovely music. I wonder if before we finish, I wonder if we could get a sample of that voice from Kian. Kian, for my people know on VOB Country, ladies and gentlemen, VOB 92.9 FM, Starcom Network. This is Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme, hosted by yours truly, Sluggy Dan, and my brother, Mr. Ronnie Clark on the control towers. I want to thank him for always keeping us connected. I really appreciate all that you do, Radar, and we'll be playing your music for sure. We'll be sharing your stories for sure. And this is not the last time we will speak. We must come back and speak again and have a really deep conversation. I thank you, Radar, for sharing your knowledge with us. Yeah, well, I thank all the... Yes, that is no problem, my brother. We must do it again. I thank all the people for listening to the nation's number one station. And I thank you for now making this show the number one show, you know, Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme. When it comes to Bajan music and Bajan artists and Bajan content, we are number one. Tune in every Saturday at 6 p.m. See you on Wednesday at Bar Cutters for Rhythm and Rhyme Alive. See you on Wednesday.
I have tickets for that Independence Breakfast Party 236-3534. And to close us out, we want the beautiful voice of Kian to close us out. Take it away, Kian.
Oh, more night, no more pain, see no more tears, never crying again. And the praises go to the great I am. We believe in the light of the risen Lamb.
Brilliant, 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 brilliant. Keep up that wonderful voice, Kian. Keep singing, and keep ministering to God, and keep doing what you do, and keep being awesome, young lady. And I support you in everything that you do, man, for real.
Thank you very much.
And Kian?
Yes, please.
I must remind you that part of your prize for winning is a recording at Radar Studio. So I look to link with you soon.
Yes, Radar.
And we will get something happening,
Yes, please.
Okay.
Now we're talking about is over to you, Mr. Ronnie Clark.
Thank you, Kian. Thank you, Radar. Thank you, Sluggy. Here we go.